Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host,
Mr. Ben Errington.
Mr. Ben Errington, how's it going?
Good. I'm good. I'm feeling refreshed. I've got some lemonade.
Lemonade, good. I've had a nap. First time the only reason I had a nap was because I've been cracking off with the Piriton.
My hay fever tablets. Oh god!
And I must have got the drowsy ones. Like I just felt like really, you know, muzzy head. Do you say that in Bristol? I've got a muzzy head.
No, but I like it.
Do you know what I mean by muzzy head?
Well, like a fuzzy head. Maybe we say fuzzy. What, like just?
It pretty much means fuzzy. Fuzzy head sounds like the right way to say muzzy head.
Yeah, exactly. There we go, bloody Northerners. I'm joking. I'm joking, of course. Not trying to cause a North-South divide. No. That already exists.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, what's going on? We're not doing the list this week. We're doing something else, right?
Yeah. We're doing a brand new film flick, just because it came out this week and I thought it looked pretty cool.
Yeah. Before we dip into, instead of the main meal menu, we dip into the 99p saver menu.
Oh, yeah, that's my favourite part of the menu.
Me too.
Did you want anything from the 99p menu? No, I want this.
Double cheeseburger, 99p chicken wrap.
Yeah, McFlurry. Other ice creams are available.
Apple pie. Just, like, careful.
Apple pie. Scald or not. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Walton.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about a film called Cargo, which I had no knowledge about at all.
Which is nice sometimes.
It is nice sometimes. But before we go into that, other guff. You did a guff this week?
I've done a couple of guffs, you know. Yeah. It's been one of those weeks.
Yeah.
Well, both of us saw Deadpool 2, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. That's got some horror elements in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
The wood chipper and the helicopter.
Yeah. So, I mean, gruesome, like proper over the top, just as... I probably liked it on a par with the first, maybe slightly less than the first, but
yeah,
there were some elements that didn't work so well. But I think all in all, it's a good romp and a lot of fan service throughout. For if you're a fan of like the X-Men comics or just slightly sort of niche mutant characters. I mean, Mojo World got a shout out, didn't it? Which I was like nodding along to.
The one that I heard and I was like, I wonder if like the general audience is going to get that. Is the Rob Liefeld joke.
What about drawing feet?
Yeah. But it's good. I think I definitely want to see it again. Like I told you before, I think I went to the wrong screen because everyone was sort of like, it was a really hot day and it had been like the Manchester run and a lot of people have come straight from, like, they were still wearing like the numbers
really?
And stuff. Yeah. So I think everyone was kind of like, oh, I can't be bothered to laugh. And then it just kind of made it like weird atmosphere where it's like being at a stand-up gig where the guy's kind of bombing on stage and he's still telling these dick jokes and you're like, but I mean it's still some really funny bits. The bit I don't want to spoil anything because there's one bit with I just want to say Basic Instinct. I think it's probably the best way I can codify it.
I missed that bit. That was when I needed a wee.
Oh no, that was the best bit.
So I missed that bit. That was
my favourite hits, yeah.
I did get told about it, but I did miss that bit.
So, you'd have to go again just to see that bit.
Yeah, yeah. I think I will. I probably will. apart from that, I haven't actually watched any other films. I've been watching Atlanta this week, Donald Glover series. I've watched about 5 episodes of that so far. I'm really enjoying it. Not a straight up comedy, but like a really funny show.
Yeah.
And I guess something that's kind of horror related is that I've been listening to a band called Ghost.
Yeah.
Like pretty much nonstop. So like I knew about this band and I'd heard a few songs, but I'd never sort of been a fan, but they released a song called Rats and I've gone back to like their entire discography and just played everything. And it's like a Swedish, I guess you say a metal band, but they've got like sort of prog, classic rock, quite anthemic songs as well. And they're all sort of, the band are like faceless ghouls and the front man dresses like a sort of evil pope. and all of their videos are like real throwbacks to like classic horror films. Like there's a video which is almost like Carrie, and some other videos which are like sort of Hammer horror sort of stuff.
In the Rats video, the band are wearing the silver mask party thing, whatever they call them, I can't remember now. I feel like Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. There's so much. I love theatrics in music, especially rock music, and something's like really captured it. And I think because like being a horror fan as well, it's kind of like it bridges that gap between music and film as well. But yeah, I'd recommend them. You've been listening a little bit this week, haven't you?
A little bit, yeah. That song Rats. How many albums have they got? Because I think there's only one on Spotify.
I think they've got like 3 full length albums and an EP, and the new album is coming out next month, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Check that out. Something else that I took from the 1980 Saver menu on Netflix was Life Force. And it's a film that I'd like been meaning to, because I'd seen like the posters and like the when I nip into HMV and stuff, they have like the Arrow home video thing of it there. And it just popped up on Netflix. And I was like, I really want to watch that. And I put it on and it was the most bizarre. It's directed by Tobe Hooper, so he did Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Poltergeist and stuff like that. The acting at times is borderline ludicrously bad, but it's still kind of like the logic, the science doesn't really make any sense, and I think the actors maybe knew what they were saying. God. Patrick Stewart's in it he plays like a possessed creepy vampire man. It's got it's about like vampires from space who try to have sex with people and absorb their life force. A giant, this is like a big vampire invasion in London. It's insane, like it's absolutely insane. But it's definitely worth watching for the B movie fun.
Yeah, sounds interesting. Another film that I don't know if I've ever heard of.
I don't think I had until fairly recently.
Yeah,
well, that's fun. And then I got the Thing Blu-ray, and I know we've got that coming up, but I couldn't resist sticking it on.
You couldn't resist?
No. So it's the Arrow home video one. It's the like a Blu-ray quality. I've never seen this film look this good. Like it's just a great film, and I want to get myself reacquainted with it by the time we do the episode on it.
Good idea. Yeah. So you're gonna watch it again?
Yeah.
When we do the wonderful. So you'll have all the insight when it comes to that.
Unlike on this film where I kind of still don't really know much of anything about it.
Did you even bloody watch it?
Got Martin Freeman in it, and he's got a ring. I don't know. He's trying to take a little thing to the thing.
Yeah, he's trying to take a little thing to dispose of it in Mordor. I've got confused with the films again. That's Lord of the Rings.
Okay, this film, Cargo. What's it about, Ben?
So, Cargo is a 2018 Australian post-apocalyptic thriller film written by Yolanda Ramke and directed by Ramke and Ben Howling. That's a really good name. For like any sort of horror director, isn't it?
Howling.
Howling. Yeah.
Mr. Howling.
Hello, Mr. Howling. How are you?
Yeah.
The film stars Martin Freeman, Anthony Hayes, and Karen Pistorius. The film is based on Ramke and Howling's short film Cargo, which was released a few years ago. I think it was 2013, possibly. So the basic premise of this film is that it takes place in South Australia? I think it takes place along the south coast of Australia. Yeah. And so after being infected in the wake of a violent pandemic and with only 48 hours to live, a father struggles to find a new home for his baby daughter. Well.
This is what Rotten Tomatoes say about it. And they have that like critical consensus bit. Cargo takes a refreshingly character-driven approach to the zombie genre that's further distinguished by its Australian setting and Martin Freeman's terrific lead performance, it says here. I thought it was a pretty good Martin Freeman. He's always good, though, isn't he? 80% on Rotten Tomatoes in total. The user score isn't as good. IMDb says 6.4 out of 10.
What do you reckon that is?
So I can't say. I'm going into this film, I'm just not excited about zombies at the minute. Just I feel like I've seen too many zombies. It's just I don't watch The Walking Dead.
They're clawing at your door right now, and you're like, "Yeah, I've had enough of you lot."
Jesus, yeah. But this film, I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. I think it hits all of the zombie beats that we already know from all these other films. But it has quite an interesting flavour with the Aussie walkabout sort of element to it. And the relationship between Martin Freeman, his daughter, and this other character, this Aboriginal girl called Toomey, was really kind of like lovely. And by the end, like the start was like, it's just a fucking another zombie film, isn't it? It's just a fucking another zombie film. And then by the end of it, I was like, I had a moment, I was like, oh my God.
Oh, bloody
nearly in tears.
I think it was good. It was like cinematography was great. Mm. Soundtrack was great. Obviously, Martin Freeman's performance was good. And even though, like, in terms of plot, I mean, it was kind of like an A to B sort of plot. Someone's traveling from A to B, comes across various threats, comes across various characters. It didn't do anything that was incredibly unique. However, it did feel unique. Like in terms of the threat that was coming from these zombies, it never felt like the same sort of threat in every other zombie film, which is like, they're going to get closer. They're going to get you in a minute. They're going to shuffle and they're going to beat your brains. It kind of just felt like that wasn't the main threat.
They weren't even that scary, were they, really? I mean, there were scary moments in it from a couple of zombies, but they weren't even like...
No, and there were plenty of moments in this where the camera cut away at a moment that perhaps another film wouldn't have. Another film perhaps would have shown you a lot more, and this film was very good at sort of managing that fear and that threat without sort of slamming it in your face, here's a horde of zombies coming towards you. Yeah. So there was some scenes in the start of the film which I thought were really well done, and sort of just that it was a weird one where, like, usually when zombies are about, you get a real sense that this is the end of the world, don't you?
Yeah.
However, with this film, you kind of get a sense that some areas of civilization are kind of carrying on as normal.
Yeah.
Some areas of civilization. I mean, obviously there's zombies about. Obviously the world isn't the same as it used to be, but there was just this vibe I got, which was almost like, if you can just move out of this area, there might be something somewhere where it's safe. Whereas in a lot of zombie films, you kind of think, well, everywhere's screwed. Everyone's dead. Whereas this, it felt like, it was weird. It was almost like the first time I'd seen that in a zombie film.
Yeah.
Where zombies and civilization were kind of coexisting, obviously not in a normal way, but does that make sense?
Yeah. There's also this weird kind of lovely idea about the people who were going back to live in nature in the old Aboriginal ways were kind of succeeding more than the people trying to carry on with life as normal. Sort of going back to the basic sort of thing. It's really interesting. And there's a load of like this Aussie culture stuff that I don't know too much about. Like their old belief systems and stuff that sort of play into it. And a lot of that stuff I still don't really understand. There's a lot of Toomey's, she talks about like souls and stuff. And I was like, I don't know if that's meant to mean more than it does. I don't know what they were saying with a lot of that stuff, but I liked it. It was weird. It made it a little bit more interesting than a normal zombie film.
Yeah, definitely. It did feel a lot more interesting than a normal zombie film. Yeah, but I kind of got that from the trailer, and I'd seen the short film a few years ago, and I remembered it being fairly unique because it was pretty popular, that short film. It did go kind of viral.
I've got a trivia question on it later. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Here, and that's where I proved that I can't remember anything about it. so I want Martin Freeman one in it. So I really enjoyed it. Obviously, when it's a Netflix release, I mean, they are a bit hit and miss, especially like Netflix original. Actually, I don't know if this was a Netflix original.
It said Netflix presents at the, I mean, like on the opening credit scroll sort of thing.
Yeah, it can be a bit hit and miss, but I think this was... Yeah. This was a hit, and it did keep surprising me. And there was something very, very intriguing about it that I kept wanting to kind of like dig deeper into the story as it progressed. Apart from those three characters, obviously, Martin Freeman's character, the baby, great actress, and the little Aboriginal girl, apart from that, the characters were a bit forgettable. But I mean,
yeah,
I still enjoyed it.
Martin Freeman. Has this like ability to elicit empathy so effectively, like, and he's done this ever since like The Office. Like, he's just able to make you just look with like one or two looks, you can instantly sort of feel sort of.
He does this bit of acting, which I really like. I really like when he does this bit of acting. I'm gonna do it now, but obviously it's gonna be difficult if you're just listening to this on audio. He kind of puffs his cheeks out a bit and like tilts his head. He goes. You know what I mean? And there's something about that which is like he does that when he's supposed to be like he's like overwhelmed with emotion. That's it. He kind of stops mid sentence.
Yeah.
And there's something about that that I find really like it's so simple. It's so simple.
And he's been dining out on that for fucking years. He's been doing that on Virgin Media adverts.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock. We need to intercut just him doing that, him getting overwhelmed, stammering.
I really like it though. But you know, like when you just, you know, when you don't notice these mannerisms of people until like you see maybe an impressionist doing something, and then you go, oh yeah, they have got this man, like Al Pacino or something. Like,
yeah.
What do you got? It's just all that stuff. I love sort of noticing that stuff in performances, especially when it carries over from something like you've probably done that in The Office. Probably done it in Sherlock, and now he's done it in this, and it just carries over, and it just is effective.
Yeah. If you had to come up with like a little acting tick that would be your trademark move, what would it be?
Mine, just like a sexy wink and a lick of the lips and a lick of the lips.
Yeah. You're supposed to be dying. You're being hung currently in medieval England.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Classic Ben Aronson.
Everyone's just going classic Ben Aronson. Give him the award now.
Yeah.
What about you? What would you do?
I don't know. I think I have this thing where Kat tells me, and pretty much everyone has told me before, if I disagree with something, my eyebrow twitches, and it, and I don't realize it's doing it. Yeah. So I can't play poker or anything because as soon as people know that.
Oh, you told me that now. I didn't know it before, but.
Yeah. I don't think it's when I disagree with an opinion. It's when I'm thinking, like, I'm not instantly agreeing with something. Do you know what I mean? It's like
thinking, oh, I'm not sure about that.
Whoa, let me just. It's that kind of a. Well, that's my tick. The little eyebrow move. Yeah.
When I give you, like, the biggest. I'll give you a huge pitch one day about an idea I've got, and you do your eyes for that. Oh, well, screw you, Condor. You haven't even said a word. Just, screw you.
Just a quick eyebrow twitch. Well, now you know. That's how I let people know.
Oh, I know.
Okay, so the key players in this film. Oh, by the way, Mark Kermode watched his review of this. So I like to get a professional reviewer's opinion. So I know what to say myself.
Yeah. So Mark Kermode says it was horrible, and you go, "Well, actually, it was shit."
Yeah. So Mark Kermode said it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah. Well, he's not wrong, is he?
Not wrong. No. Key players in this got Martin Freeman doing his. His name is Andy. We've got a girl called Susie Porter plays his wife Kay. Don't worry about her; she's not in it for too long. Simone Landers plays as a little. Girl called Toomey, she's of a Aussie background, and there's a guy called Anthony Hayes who comes in a bit later, plays a guy called Vic, who I think should have been, we'll get into it a bit more, but should have been more, what's his name, John Jarrett, I think his name is, the guy from Wolf Creek. Should have been more, because that guy is
terrifying. He was very much like that. It reminded me of that. Yeah. Obviously not just because he was Australian, because he did kind of look similar.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't quite have that creepy laugh, though. And also, there's a baby actress, but she's not, you know, she's not been credited for some reason, so she must have done a poor job.
And they were like, poor job. You'll never work in this town again.
Is that a cigar? I like it.
Yeah, it was just a little one. Just a little one. I've got to think of the lungs, mate.
Okay, so should we get into the story, into the meat and potatoes?
Sure. Into the meat and tatties.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's how to start. Okay, so it opens, you know, with the title. Well, it opens with you going on Netflix.com, clicking on your name.
Scrolling to Netflix, realize you forgot your password again. Oh, no, you haven't paid your bill again, so you can have... Oh, bloody got reactivated again.
Need to find an email address and sort of new
then you watch
account.
One. Then you watch... Yes, then you watch an episode of Friends because you just see it there and you go, oh, I could watch this first.
Yeah.
Watch this one. And it's the one with the sandwich, the moist maker. And then you and then you finally move on to the film, but it's 11 p.m. So you think, I'll watch it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the next day, we could do this all day, but
yeah.
Then it finally starts.
So the film opens, a Netflix production. They're somewhere in, I think it's New South Wales, Australia. There's a boat going down a river. It's a houseboat. It's a very nice looking houseboat. Martin Freeman, he's in it. He's doing the driving. Got a woman called Kay in the back, the wife. Lovely. Doing her laundry. And then there's a baby knocking around.
That's the way it should be, is what you're saying, isn't it?
And then there's a baby knocking around. And as Martin Freeman's... as he's driving.
Good.
Yeah.
Is he doing the noise as well? He's that's another thing he can do.
It's great noises. As it's
that's
going.
Good.
I've practiced it a lot. And
that's why you have to have a nap. You practice doing the boat and you're like, lips are tired. My lips are tired.
Yeah. As a driver, it all seems very normal. It seems like kind of just on like a holiday sort of thing. They're laughing and smiling. It's the standard day for them. And then they pass a family on the coast and they're playing football, or they're eating cake or something.
They've got like a constant birthday party going on, it looks like. Well, it looks like just a birthday party at this stage. They've got like a birthday party in the woods and there's some kids with like hats on loving life, and it looks like this is why it looked like normal life, because they're having a birthday party and then Andy waves at them and then some dudes like their dad just appears menacing and flashes his weapon, shows he's got a gun in his belt, which is a bit like, oh shit. It's a bit unnerving. Yeah. But yeah, that's obviously the first bit where you think, well, right, okay, things aren't all good in the hood.
Yeah. So then Andy's like, you know, driving off.
See you later. Get away from this guy with a gun.
Yeah. And then they park up for the night. Like that.
I really, when they move on to being in a car, I hope you continue. For God's sake. And when they're on foot.
I haven't practiced that. Their feet, I guess it's like a...
You'd be really good at... What's it called?
Like Foley.
Foley, yeah.
So then they park up for the night. They tie. They drop the anchor. You know, whatever they do. And then there's another boat a little bit off to the side that's capsized. So it's half under the water, half out of the water.
Yeah, sort of like a yacht type thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Small one.
What they call it? Macaroon? Cameroon? Macaroon.
What is it now?
I think it's catamaran. No, that's something else, I think. It's a
Are
boat.
You all right? It's just some boat.
Yeah. I think Martin Freeman's wife says, I'm right tired, like, I'm going to have having his Piriton. And I'm...
So they're having this Piriton and God, it's real knacking me out.
It's not the non-drowsy variety.
They have a discussion, don't they, where they sort of say their food rations are starting to run out.
Right.
Andy's like, and she wants to like go to land and sort of look for somewhere where they can sort of settle up. But Andy's a bit like, I'd rather stay on the boat. I love it on the boat. And then a little while after that, Andy goes to the abandoned sailboat sort of yacht that's like half capsized to try and find some shit, and he does. He finds loads of food, doesn't he? Like he just finds
beans,
loads of food and like
and
beans,
peach.
Just tins. Yeah. Yeah, but when he's in the boat, obviously the water's up to like his waist or something. He kind of like hears what could be like a noise in the sort of I guess it's what, like the toilet or something?
Occupado! Occupado!
Well, yeah. I like this. This reminded me a little bit of The Shining when Jack Nicholson first hears old lady in the bath. And there's in the book, there's a really descriptive moment of when the old lady's foot like stands on a wet bath mat. And okay. It's like, yeah. All it was sound. And it was like the most delicate sound, but then he knew someone was in there and he didn't go in. Or maybe he did go in. But anyway, this is what it reminded me of. There was such a delicate sound. And again, another film maybe would have gone rah and scared the shit out of you. It might have like put him, our character, immediately in peril. Yeah. But then he just kind of like leaves. So he hears a noise, kind of leaves. And when he goes back to his wife, he tells her it was completely safe. Yeah. I went to that boat. There was no one there. It's completely safe. Obviously, he's lying. Well, he wouldn't necessarily tell her that he thought he heard something. And he basically says all of these supplies are going to last us months, which he's loving because he loves it on a boat.
To be fair, the boat, you know, you used to play a game, where would you go if you had a zombie apocalypse? The boathouse is pretty perfect.
It's ideal, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But he probably should have told his wife. Because she's like, we've got plenty of beans here, but I wonder if they've got beans with pork sausages in.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm just going to nip out to the shop. And Andy's like, oh yeah, that Piriton's getting to me now as well, so I'm going to have a nap.
So she seems to go over, like, I'm a bit confused as to why she went to the boat.
Yeah.
So I know she finds, so she mentions the fact that he's got a bit of face fuzz. And she's like, was there a razor in there?
A razor, yeah, that's it.
She wants a razor. But then I'm a bit like, really? Did you just go back just for the razor? It seems a bit ridiculous. So yeah, she gets in the boat this time. What are these guys doing with their secret boat trips? Well, they didn't tell the other one. Well, I'm just going to go over to that boat. And obviously this is the time where she hears even more of a noise coming from the door. The toilet.
Occupado!
Occupado, God's sake! This is your second person today!
I'm going to bite you. Yeah.
So yeah, we don't actually see anything, so we don't see anything come out, but we see her trying to climb out of the boat, and then she sort of does a shocked face. Oh!
We're left to imagine what happened. My mind cinema, a guy came out of his pants around his ankles and waddled towards her.
And kissed her on the lips. Yeah. But again, another film would have showed you, it would have possibly done a jump scare or showed you something terrifying, but you know, we didn't see anything, which was nice. I kind of liked it. And the next minute we see is her, so she gets back to the houseboat and she's in the bathroom bleeding everywhere.
I was gonna say, the thing.
Oh no, probably not.
Okay, so
probably not. You just have to deal with it.
Yeah, she's bleeding from the kneecap or something.
Yeah,
so underwater zombie.
Yeah, but Martin,
yeah,
Andy is convinced that, like, he's convinced that she's attacked by a creature or like something else. Like, he's in denial at this stage. He doesn't want to think that she was bitten by anything, but obviously then she says it had fingers. It had loads of fingers, and they went right up. And it was
yeah. It's weird, like, the way, this is one of the strengths of this film, is the way that these people react to all of these things. So one of them gets bitten, in terms of like going for supplies or staying on a boat and that kind of thing. And also later on when Kay has like a seizure and she's turning to a zombie, that kind of stuff normally gets like skipped over and isn't really dealt with. But in this film, it's really, I'm not going to say, you know, super realistic. It's not like a Ken Loach film or anything, but it's like it's got more of like a real drama.
Yeah,
like a reality to it that other things just don't do.
It kind of takes its time with all these little details that perhaps, you're right, would be skimmed over in other films or like replaced with something that's more sort of like immediately horror. Yeah. That's why, like, in the description of this film, it doesn't really even say it's a horror film, which I guess, I mean, there aren't that many.
It's weird because I find this scary. Like, I watch a lot of horror films now. I'm not scared from many films anymore, but this I found has some genuinely terrifying moments in it.
Yeah.
And the bit in that boat was, I found, really scary.
Yeah, exactly. It was. So yeah, she investigates this pack, which is kind of like a pack that's obviously distributed by the government while people are infected. And it's like got a watch, which tells you how long you've got after you've been bitten. And there's like a spring-loaded dagger thing, which you can like put up to your head and just like pops a knife in your head.
What is the point of that? Because is that to kill yourself?
I guess it's to kill yourself or to kill kill someone who's been bitten, I guess.
Right, okay.
So then they decide, right, let's get ourselves off this boat, which Andy's fuming about because he loves it. He loves it on the boat. Put the baby in a little backpack. What is it called? Papoose.
This is the second papoose in a row. I mean, it was a papoose on the last episode.
Yeah, but I think we were mentioned in this film.
Oh, right.
I don't think there was a papoose in Nosferatu. There was a bit where Nosferatu was in the papoose when he's on someone's back.
Yeah, sicking up.
So yeah, burping. So then we kind of sicking up. He's fuming. So then we get introduced to Toomey, the Aboriginal girl. She's like drawing in a sketchbook. She's drawing like someone's head in the ground. And then we see her like with a rabbit, like a dead rabbit, and she goes and slings it into like a some sort of pit.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's just like a sort of gap in some rocks, and then she covers her ears while she hears like.
Popeye. Eating a spinach.
Popeye. Here's the thing. Popeye needs spinach in order to be strong,
yeah.
How does he squeeze the can so spinach pops out? No one could do that.
That's a secret. He's always eating spinach.
Oh, right.
That's like the Hulk. That's like, you know, he's always angry.
That's a continuity error. I mean, I've never thought. Have you thought about that? Have you ever tried to squeeze a can so that the contents of which fly up in the air?
Shoot in the air and you catch it. Shoot an entire tin of something in the air and open your mouth wide enough to catch it. It's difficult. Difficult.
Took me about 100 times to do it, right?
Everyone went to Download Festival. You know, like the Monday morning where everyone's sort of leaving and they're sort of chucking whatever they've got left on a fire. It was pretty bad. We had like a tin of beans and we chucked it on the fire. It was closed. And we heard it like getting like crinkling as it was getting hot. And it made this popping noise. And the lid.
I think you did that noise in the last episode as well.
The lid.
There again.
The lid like shot. I could almost like see it in a film, like where you see from the perspective of the lid. Like it flew and like hit me in the neck. Like it's like, you know, it really did. Yeah, hit me in the neck. And then I was like holding my neck and I like, looked at my hand, it was covered in like red. And I was like, oh, it's bean juice.
It's true.
But one of those things where, like, because everyone was so tired and sort of like hungover and stuff, it didn't really register as a thing that was actually happening. But
the lid decapitated you.
It could have gone very, very bad because that lid was sharp.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Oh my god! We used to put like cans of Lynx on a fire.
Yeah.
And then I remember like once someone was like, "Oh, ain't exploding." They went, "Go and give it a nudge." They went, "Give it a nudge." Yeah. Exploded.
Very down silly. The festival.
Don't try that at home.
Yeah, don't try that at home. There's one down the festival. Everyone's like going crazy. No, it was the Leeds Festival, and there's like loads of fires. I think they even called it the Leeds Festival riots at one point. And there's a big fire and a load of people were chucking stuff on it. And I saw this guy picked up you know those tents that sort of you throw and they sort of unfold and they're instantly made. He had one of those tents. He picked it up in one thing, chucked it on the fire. And I went, I didn't want that tent. And he went, oh no, it's not mine. Just threw someone's tent on the fire.
Oh my god, there was a man in it.
Yeah, rock and roll. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay, so where are we?
We get back to Andy and Kay, and they find a car, didn't they? And the car was just a bit like a sort of...
I can't do cars very well. That's
pretty good. I thought a car was in the room then.
It's a fucking sports car, mate.
It's a sports car. So they find a car.
Mm.
Is it abandoned? They like fill the petrol tank, put the baby in the back, and then they're off. There's a zombie that's trying to get in on the action. Give me a lift! Give me a lift! And they just go, fuck off. When Kay gets in, she notices there's some slimy shit in the on the back of the seat. Sort of like, looks a bit like...
Caramel cream.
Yeah.
Like
caramel cream. It looks quite delicious.
It is,
I've tried it.
Have you ever done that thing where you... Another sideways story here. Have you ever done that thing where you get another tin-based story? Get condensed milk?
Yeah.
It comes in those, like, tins. If you get a pot of boiling water, pop the entire tin, keep it closed, of condensed milk, in the boiling water, 2 hours.
2 hours?
It looked like it's going to blow up, but it doesn't. I know, trust me. Leave it for 2 hours.
And then it does blow up. And then
the lid pops off.
It cuts your neck. Your poor neck. It was your neck. Oh, don't worry. I blocked it with my neck.
So you leave it there for 2 hours, right? And then take it out. Wait till it cools down. Open it up, and the sugar in the kind of condensed milk is like made like a caramel, and it makes the most delicious caramel creamy sort.
You can get tins of that.
I think you can just buy it. Yeah, but it's more fun.
Do you want to buy it or do you want to just wait to? I want to eat it now. Wait 2 hours.
But I will say, if you do it yourself, you get like some bits which are slightly more like burny, and some bits like slightly less than. So it's got a bit more of a like a contrasting. But it is like whatever that flavor is. That's the flavor I was born to eat. Like I could.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it is? It's the flavor. You know, in Rolo yogurts.
Yeah.
The caramel bit of that. It's that.
Like dolce de leche, you know. Like
that's called. What's it called?
Yeah. Dolce de leche. Oh, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but it's a Häagen-Dazs flavor you can get.
Really? Hmm. And you put that in the boiling water for 2 hours.
You put the ice cream in the boiling water for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then it just explodes. But you just block it with your neck. It's a weird story. It's a weird
comment. Yeah. But that tastes great. Okay, but that's what this looks like. This pus stuff that's coming off the zombies.
Imagine like you in a car accident, just like a car coming towards you and go, don't worry, it just got me in the neck, I'm fine. Sorry, that's enough now, it's the last one.
Dolce de leche. That's what this goop looks exactly like.
Yeah.
So where is it? It's on the, it's in the car. Did he get attacked by zombies yet? Did he crash yet or something?
Yeah, a zombie just turns up. So basically, they're driving for a little while. Obviously, Kay's a bit like, oh, I'm going to die. Like, she starts having being a bit sick. Like,
crisis of confidence.
Some stuff comes out of her mouth, like a gozzin. And she tries to, like, jump out of the car at one point, like, while it's moving.
Yeah.
Which is pretty mental. But Andy manages to, like, stop her and say, like, look, there's a map here and we can get to... The hospital. They reckon there's a hospital somewhere where they can go. Mm. And if we get her there, maybe there's a way. And obviously Kay's a bit like, I'm screwed. There's absolutely no way.
Mm.
And then we go back to Toomey, who this time has got like a dead snake, and she throws it into the pit, covers her ears as if she's going to hear horrible noises again, but there's nothing to be heard.
Yeah.
She climbs down and realizes whatever's in that pit is bloody gone.
There's something about like, it's like a sketchbook. A lot of like Toomey stuff, I was like, what? Like, she had like a sketchbook, like a colouring book or something, didn't she? Yeah. Is that this bit?
She was drawing some things. Yeah, she was drawing like a zombie and stuff.
Yeah.
And then pretty much, Andy is driving, and then suddenly you see someone in the road, and I think there's zombies everywhere. Just mow it down.
But he
careers off the road, smashes into a tree, and obviously when he wakes up after being KO'd, he realizes that Kay's been impaled. By like a tree, which I think, you know, better way to go, isn't it? But then he kind of faints, doesn't he, from the sight of it?
Is that what happens? He faints because of the sight of it?
That's what I thought. He faints at the sight of it. And of course, when he wakes up, Kay has been
because obviously she's died, she's been zombified.
Yeah.
And how can we describe the zombification in this film?
Well, I said it's like when you get really bad hay fever and you wake up the morning after and your eyes are like glued together. But now I think it's like someone's been boiling some Dolce Delish and it's like, it's pops on both the eyes. That's what it looks like now.
It's basically just a load of caramel goo, like seeping from the eyes. Think really bad conjunctivitis.
Yeah.
Or like sleepy eyes, or like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, very unique sort of look for a zombie, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was almost like a cross between standard zombies you would see and also something from The Last of Us, which is a bit more like growy and yucky.
It's
the
cordyceps thing, isn't it? So there's loads of zombies in this that we see that have got their heads buried in the ground.
Yeah.
What was that about? Did they do it on...
That is kind of confirmed a little bit later. But basically I think the zombies need to rest. So even though that they kind of like wander around most of the day, I think they still need to rest and like recoup. And the way they do that is they need darkness.
Is that why they're in that tunnel later on?
Yeah, so later on we see them in a tunnel and they're all lined up at the tunnel, sort of facing the wall, because they like the darkness and that's them resting. So when they bury their heads in the ground, that is just them resting.
Okay, and there's those burnt ones, is that like the Aboriginal hunting parties that we see later? They just see them there and they're like, pop that one on fire.
Yeah.
Easy picking.
Yeah, so we see a lot of burnt carcasses. So yeah, people have just gone and burnt the one, which I think is quite nice to think that the zombies need a little bit of a rest. Because, you know, that's a little bit more realistic as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so Andy, he passes out at the sight of this his wife dying, basically. And as soon as he wakes up again, she's like completely zombified. He tries to get out, gets bitten on the arm.
Yeah. He's well annoyed about that.
Does he kill her? Or does he just leave her there? Can't really remember why. It is one of those things where it just cuts, which I do like it when it did that. It kept cutting past the action.
Yeah. Oh no, he does use one of those poppy daggers on her, and he takes her bracelet and puts on it because now he knows he's got 48 hours before he turns.
Fitbit.
So he has to leave. Fitbit on.
Yeah.
Oh bloody hell, that's good. Yeah. And then he basically leaves with his baby and the papoose. Well, and this is quite cute. He's kind of got a bottle of perfume, which belongs
I like
to his wife.
Touch,
And he sprays it around the baby to try and calm her. Which, you know, that's a proper
nice
emotion.
Yeah,
because I don't think you feel the weight of like the character we've lost and the fact that that's the mother of that girl and his wife. We don't really feel the weight of it too much because we've kind of been we've been along the ride with them. And this is the moment where you kind of understand what's actually happened. But then he sees the man. Well, the zombie who caused their crash, and prepares to like take him out. He goes, "Hey, you dead!" And then suddenly Toomey appears and says, "That's my bloody dad, you mug!"
That's her pet dad. She's keeping him like a Tamagotchi.
Exactly. And she cuts her hand to draw some blood and leads him away, like, "Come and get a bit of this, you dirty bastard." And he does.
Yeah. He does come and get a bit of, "You can't get this, you can't get this," but he gets this.
He gets it. He follows after it,
It's from Borat, if people haven't seen that in a long time. But, okay, so Andy now he's got the baby in the papoose, and I think the car's wrecked, and I think he decides to go on foot, right?
Yeah, so we get like the kind of Lord of the Rings travel sequence, him walking on various things and stuff. And he does make it to the hospital, but there's like pretty much no one there, just a lady.
Hiding in the shadows.
Yeah, exactly.
The Red Skull. She like takes her head off.
Yeah.
So I was getting confused about the, I was reading over the summary and thinking, I don't know if I remember any of this. So she, Toomey, there's like a picture of Toomey, this woman knows Toomey, I think she even mentions her. Says you're right smart, that one.
She's re smart.
And then he just leaves, I guess, the next day. He's having seizures or something in the hospital.
So he stays in the hospital, has a few seizures, but then the next day he sort of says, you know, I need to get out of here and I need to find people who are still people in order to leave my baby with. When he's on his way somewhere, he sort of finds some outpost where like a guy is like, somehow ended up underneath some barrels looking like Mr. Bean or something. He's like he's led there with like some barrels on him. Go, oh, bloody help me and I'll help you.
This is a bit like how you introduce a character in a game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You have to go over and tap X while the zombies are coming in. Quick.
Yeah.
So Andy like saves him from the barrels by like reversing his car. Doesn't he? Really reverses his car and sort of.
Oh yeah, he gives him the car keys.
Don't you fuck me over, mate. But obviously, and this guy seems like a fairly nice, normal guy, doesn't it? But then this guy, his name's Vic, isn't it?
He's got the rifle. Yeah,
he's
kind of like the he very much is a bit like the guy from Wolf Creek. You know, lives in the outback, hunts the, you know, lives off the land and that kind of thing. But he seems very normal and friendly all the way up to we meet his wife, who seems a little shell-shocked, like there's something not quite right.
I kind of thought at this stage she's not his wife at all. He's like forcing her to be with him somehow.
Yeah. Well, that is right. That's what happens, right?
Is it? I don't know.
Because
pretty much,
she wasn't his wife. I'm pretty sure we learned this quite quickly that he
I see
was out with her husband, and then he came back alone and said, "No, he didn't make it, and now you're mine."
Oh, God.
Something like that.
Well, that's awful, but I mean, yeah. Bloody hell. The world's gone to shit, and he's just like, well, I can do what I want now, mate.
Yeah.
One of those.
I do feel like this kind of Vic, this middle storyline here, with Vic, and he's a good guy, he's looking after you. He says, he seems like you're the kind of person you could leave the baby with. But then it turns out, like, you find out he's not particularly nice, that he's taken this new apocalyptic world as his own, and he's keeping people prisoners and this kind of thing. I do feel like these beats like are almost like too expected. Do you know what I mean? I would like to see something that's slightly different here, but because, you know, we've seen it 20 years later. That's pretty much the same element at the end.
That's true. So basically this dude has like got some of the Aboriginal people, including Toomey at some point, so he's obviously found her and caught her. And he keeps them in cages and basically puts like entrails or some horrible blood and guts all over the cage and lures the zombies and basically just takes them out from there, just shoots them.
It collects and money, like loots them.
Which is odd. Oh, got a bloody Nando's card in here. Bloody quality. Nando's tonight.
Starbucks card. It's got four stickers already.
Oh, you only need another
free coffee.
So he kind of gets Andy to like shoot a gun, and then Andy realizes that he was shooting the zombies, but realizes that Vic's been keeping people prisoner. So obviously then his moral compass comes into play, where he's like, I don't think I can be party to this thing. And then we see like another Aboriginal dude who's like he looks well pissed off.
The wise man, or whatever they call
the wise man. He ain't happy at all.
Smart guys. He never looks happy, him. He's just got on faces of constantly pissed off, but constantly disappointed with the world for the zombies. Fucking world.
And then obviously his missus, what's her name? Lorraine is not really his missus. She's like looking after the baby, and she noticed some goo all over the baby's belly, which is obviously the horrible zombie goo. So realizes that Andy must be infected. It's not called Dodge-lesh. And then Andy gets to a point where he sort of says to Lorraine, please look after my baby. And he's ready to kill himself, ready to put the old knife in his head. And Lorraine comes and says, don't do it, mate, you mug. And then Vic suddenly turns. He comes out and says, what's bloody going on here? Obviously, he's suspicious of Lorraine because he's forced her to be his wife.
Yeah. It's not a good way to start a relationship, because you're always going to be suspicious.
No,
then.
It's not.
Yeah.
You'd be suspicious all the time. I know I forced you to be my wife, but do you still love me? Well, no, I never did. You forced it. Well, that's exactly... What?
This is news to me. Yeah,
it's news to me. So he goes and knocks out Andy, hits him with the butt of his gun, and then basically locks Andy in a cage with Toomey. And they escape pretty quickly, yeah?
Easily. This is one of those... what do they call those things in games where, like I said earlier, where... Tap X.
Oh, like I know what you mean. It's like
Are you doing a Mike Freeman impression?
It's like a mini game type thing, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. Tap X, hold A, whatever. And they get out way too easily. and they run away. The zombies in this aren't that scary. And also, you know, like the guts and stuff that's sort of hanging around. There's lots of like rotten skin and stuff. I think I'm maybe just completely desensitized now. Because like it holds no like thing of me at all now. Whereas there's one point when I used to look at it and go, ugh, it looks like real.
Oh, like yuck! Real
guts. But is that just...
I know, I'm like,
That looks really tasty, actually.
Delicious.
Fancy sausages. But is that like, like is, have we seen too many zombies? Because like The Walking Dead like is doing it on TV.
Maybe. Probably, yeah, because we've seen loads of horrible stuff. You know what I mean? We've seen the worst of the worst. We've seen people covered head to toe in guts and muck. And
well, saying that, Day of the Dead still made me go, in the some bits in Day of the Dead, it still got to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's because it was practical effects and it looked really gruesome.
Yeah.
So they basically go, Andy and Toomey go back to sort of rescue the baby, and Lorraine even helps them. And while they're trying to run away, obviously Vic is like, bloody hell, you twat.
Yeah.
Tries to shoot him, but Lorraine like gets in the way and he shoots her.
She gets in the way of the bullet. She catches the bullet with her neck, like how I do with lids and things.
She catches. You saw the bullet go in and then out of her neck, and you went, phew, she's all right.
Yeah. So
she's fine.
So she's like, I don't know, sleeping that one off for a bit. Piriton, probably, I imagine. And so Andy, Toomey, and is her name Rosie? Rosie. The papoose person. She's in the back and then they're running away.
They hide and they have to keep the baby quiet while Vic is like driving around going, where the fuck are you, you bastards?
He says a couple of racist things about Toomey.
Yeah, he does. He lets his true self come out now. He thinks that the world's gone to shit.
He's like, the pay gap is a lie.
He just said, the pay gap is a lie. Build the wall. Just saying loads of shit like that.
Yeah. Gets his Donald Trump hat out.
He's off his nut. You're on Australia, you idiot.
Yeah.
So they spend the night somewhere after that. And then this is weird where they spend the night in sort of like this sort of weird alcove.
Freak me the fuck out, this bit.
This was freaky, So Toomey wakes up to find Andy like rubbing his face against...
Literally chewing the scenery. Like he's like... But it sounds like it's like biting on the rock. But you don't see, and there's like blood all around. So he must have just been like cutting the hell out of his lips and tongue and stuff. Because I don't know what was going on. But...
Or there was already blood there, and he was like licking it.
Okay, that makes more sense. But in my mind, it's still pretty fucking. Yeah. It just freaked me out.
Either of those things would have been good.
Yeah.
Effective. Oof. But yeah, he's kind of like he's not turned. He's kind of like, but he's obviously having an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's cool. It's not like you instantly turn and you're a zombie in this film. It seems to be a bit more of a transitional period of like little episodes where you space out and chew walls and stuff like that. And then at this point, they go to find. So Timmy's like, look, we can sort your people out. We can sort you out something. We used to be finding the clever man. We used to find my dad and all this stuff. But then they do find her dad, and he's dead, and he's been buried in the tree. Apparently that's a way they like to be buried. I don't know about you. I mean, would you like to be like buried or cremated, or would you like to be stuck on the top of a tree collecting
stuck on top of a tree sounds like a right laugh.
Yeah,
your family could climb you, you know.
Yeah,
it's a gift that keeps on giving even when you're decomposing.
Wouldn't you get like eaten and stuff by birds?
Yeah, you probably would get eaten, but you know you get eaten underground as well.
Have you seen that I saw a video, it's like in like Tibetan mountains or something like that. These are like Mongol type people who their burial ceremony is to throw their dead up onto this hill where like hundreds of these, I think they might even be condors, come and just hunt and peck away at the bodies. And then within a matter of minutes, there's just the bones remaining. And then, they did it in Metal Gear Solid with, what is his name?
Vulcan Raven.
Yeah, I was gonna say Vulcan Raven. I was like, that name sounds way too cheesy. Then I remember.
Hey, hold Vulcan it. Raven. Sniper Wolf is fine.
Yeah, that's quite good. I like that one. Vulcan Raven. Yeah, we just get Vulcan two Raven. Different birds and stick it together.
Vulcan Raven.
Wait, is this a real thing? You need to show me the video.
Yeah, I'll try and find it. But it's freaky. Like just the way that how quickly these birds, but they do leave the bones. Vulcan Raven is like there's nothing left apart from like a little puddle of blood.
Yeah. apart from his eyebrows.
Little caterpillars.
Little caterpillars, yeah. Crawling off.
Yeah. Okay. So the Timmy's dad's buried, and then she's like, "This is, I'm not going anywhere anymore. You can do and go where you want." And Andy's like, "Well, me and Rosie, we're heading off to. We're going to go find those people by the river we saw at the very start of the film. They're having like birthday parties.
There was a guy. There was a There was a guy with a gun, and he looked completely on edge. He could probably be a good dad.
Yeah. And the team was like, "Oh no, screw you! I'm going to stay here." And then she picks up a rock, and then she starts like hitting herself on the head with this rock.
Yeah.
Again, it's some weird Aboriginal thing. I'm not too sure what's going on there. Are they Aborigines? The Australian natives? Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Aboriginal.
Yeah.
Or Aborigine. I think both is fine.
Weren't the Aborigines the ones that they? Yeah, because they had the boomerangs and they got slaughtered by the rifles. That's right. Okay, yeah. So.
I'm not laughing at that.
No, yeah. She says, like, if I, once the pain's gone in my head, the pain will be gone in my heart. And that's sort of like the way she deals with it. And then Andy says, like, right, okay, well, we're off. And then he, as he's walking off, he has another of these episodes, passes out. He starts, like, going to bury his head in the sand.
Yeah.
I like that. There must be some sort of symbolic, sort of metaphorical thing about that.
Yeah. I bet there's something in sort of zombie lore about that, especially like the voodoo.
And then when he comes around again, Toomey is like, "All right, I'll go with you. I'm looking after the baby." And then they're like best friends by this point.
They've really bonded.
They have, yeah. When they go back to...
so they go to find the family, and they do, but the family have like basically agreed on a suicide pact. So they're having a lovely birthday party.
Two kids. I don't think the kids would have...
The kids were well up for the suicide pact. It was their idea. Yeah.
So Daddy, the guy's got.
Why don't we do a suicide pact? Not today. Yeah. Please. Go I really on. Want to do a suicide pact. Go All on, right. Yeah. After dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy says he's basically got six bullets. So he's going to kill himself and his family. And you take these two last bullets to kill yourself and your little baby, which is pretty brutal, isn't it? But obviously, Andy doesn't. And as he's walking off, he hears the gunshots in the distance. That's pretty good. The dad shoots himself like right behind him as well, which is pretty... Yeah,
pretty horrific. Reminds me of pretty The horrific, Mist in a little way.
Yeah. And then Toomey sees some smoke in the distance and basically says, that's like where our family is.
That's where we're going.
That's where we're going, yeah. So they had to pass through like a train tunnel, which is obviously where Vic comes back. I didn't think he was necessarily going to come back, did you?
No, well, it seems pretty unfortunate for him to just be there, chilling out. Yeah. Is he like crying or something?
He's like crying, yeah. There's loads of zombies in the tunnel who have sort of got their head against the wall because obviously they love a bit of darkness.
Yeah.
And then Vic's there as well, and they try to sort of keep quiet, but they get into a shooting match, don't they? Yeah. So he's shooting at Andy. Andy shoots his two bullets, and then they have like a fist fight.
Toomey gets like punched in the head or something. She's like concussed. It ends with Andy shot crawling across the floor, and Vic has Rosie. And he's like,
"Baby,
an eye for an eye sort of thing." It looks like he's going to do something really horrible to her.
Sort of seems to have hold of her head at some point, and even that was a bit like, "Oh Jesus!"
It was uncomfortable,
it was uncomfortable. He's crying, and Andy's like, "Just give me the baby, give me her, let go of her, don't do something stupid." And he manages
like a hostage negotiation. I like that. I like how that resolved itself, and he just kind of left each other at that point.
So neither of them die at that particular time, so that's good.
Yeah. So then they're getting pretty close there, but Andy's like, you know, he's on the last of it now. And he at some point he sort of collapses, and Toomey MacGyvers him into what's the thing from Mario called?
What?
The dinosaur thing from Mario.
The dinosaur, Yoshi. Yoshi.
Yeah, turns Martin Freeman into Yoshi.
A carrot on a stick, but it's not a carrot, it's bloody bits and guts.
She has, like, handcuffs him, his eyes. There was a bit, you know, it looked to his eyes, and his eyes looked like they were leaking the Dolch Dillish stuff. Ugh. Like, it looked like it was actually happening. I was like, well, how are they doing that? So that's a pretty cool effect. And then he goes to Barry's head, and he's like, "Come on, you two, you think?" And then she does. She like rides him, and then they go towards the camp, and there's all these Aboriginal people killing tons of these zombies,
burning them, and they've got this white paint all over them, which I think like it stops
stinks,
the smell.
Stinks, mate.
Stinks. It absolutely stinks. So like zombies can't smell them.
Zombies can smell them. They're like, phew.
No. Bloody hell, I'm going to go nowhere near you, mate. Yeah. And then Toomey basically sprays the perfume around the zombie again, around Andy. And
so they're about to kill Andy. And then she goes, wait, no. And then she sprays the perfume and he goes, it's like his final human moment. Like he's not, this is the bit, actually. No, and it's just before this. And he's about to turn, he's like, look, Toomey, you need to time up now and sort it out now. He says goodbye to Rosie. And I just found that bit really heartbreaking. There's something about that moment that just really got to me.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the end, isn't it? And then the Aboriginals sort of take Toomey and the baby back to.
There's loads of them. They've like got like a nice little civilization sort of thing of these people living in the outback. It's nice ending. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Trivia. You ready?
Yeah. Ready for some trivia.
Toomey's surname in this film was what?
To you?
Yeah.
Is it? To you?
I don't know what it is, but that's what I put here.
For God's sake. I just knew it was going to be a Luke Condor joke, mate.
Every time they said Toomey in this, I was like, to you?
And there's another character in the film called To You as well. She's just a little bit further behind.
Yeah. Okay, number two. How many views has the original short film gotten on YouTube? So just like give me a guesstimate. You're wrong.
10 million.
Oh, not too far off. It's actually 13 million views on YouTube.
Pretty close.
Not too bad. Number three.
Yes.
Can you name the other zombie film that Martin Freeman appears in?
Shaun of the Dead.
Which we are doing next week.
I said that last week.
You did, I think.
I did. Okay, I'm one step ahead, mate. I'm one episode in front of the trivia. All right.
Number four. What is the name of the zombies in this? What they call the zombies? Is it A. Hungries? Is it B. Bum Grease? Is it C. Virals or D. Walkers?
Virals.
It is correct. Virals. And the last.
We've gone viral! Yeah! Yeah,
13 million virals running around. The last one, because this is a very new film and there isn't that much stuff going around, I didn't really know what to put for this last one. So the last one is, how many trivia questions have I asked you?
Oh, wow. You had me there. what, including this one?
You've got me there. I didn't really think about it. No, not including this one.
Do you mean in this episode?
In this episode, not including this one.
Three.
Four.
Ah!
I got you.
You got me good.
Wangled you at the end there. Okay.
Wangled me off.
You've been quizzle bonked. Okay. Number C. Bamboozle. Did you ever play Bamboozle?
Oh, yeah. Bamboozle.
What am I saying here? C is the grade. That's what I was going to give it.
Wang.
Buggered my... I bamboozled myself. What grade are you going to give it?
You go first, seeing as you've already...
You go first, seeing as you've already gone.
You've already spunked your load.
Yeah, I was going to go with C. I think it's a solid effort. I don't know if I needed it to be a feature-length film, but like I can't deny that it did get to me in the end. And the emotional aspect of it really did work for me. But it wasn't... When I think of like the next week's film, Shaun of the Dead, that was a zombie film that really works on this emotional level, but it's also like incredibly original and unique. Shaun of the Dead, I mean, it's one of the best movies ever made. But I give it a C. It's good, but it's not like rocking the boat.
I'd probably go a little bit higher than that. I really, as I said, I enjoy kind of everything. The cinematography, the soundtrack, I just like the vibe it gave off, and it was very like measured.
Yeah.
With its approach, which, you know, modern zombie films frustrate me because they kind of go down the same route a lot of the time, or they try to shock in ways that aren't shocking anymore. So this was a lot different, and obviously you really felt the tension, and the relationship between the main characters are great, and Martin Freeman was awesome. So I'll probably give it a B minus.
Lovely. What was I going to say? If you think about like recent zombie films, are there any that, like, apart from this one, that, like, jump out to you?
How recent are we talking? Because, I mean, I think no, World War...
5 years or so.
I think World War Z was all right. It had some good bits. It wasn't absolutely perfect or outstanding, but I think it was a fairly interesting take, especially sort of the third act in the health center.
That was
pretty cool. Health center, whatever it was.
The world.
Apart from that, maybe. Can't even think of any other hot zombie films in the last five years now.
M.R. Carey book, Girl of All the Gifts.
Oh, Girl of All the Gifts is all right. I mean,
think the book was better, but in terms of like original aspect, I do like the way they, you know, translated something original. It had the Cordy Sets element to it, which
that was great. But I just think the sort of payoff at the end was a little bit on in a book. It worked really well on screen. It was a bit silly.
Yeah,
reminded me of what are they called in Peter Pan. The crew, those little kids,
the children.
The children, little kids. It was just a bit ridiculous, I felt. Yeah,
they reminded me of the kids film. You ever watch a thing on Channel 5 called The Tribe? It used to be on Sunday mornings, and it was like, it's this weird like New Zealand program about a world where all the adults died suddenly, and it's all the kids, anyone like 16 and under, they started these little tribes. When I think about it now, it's like, quite, you know, formative in the things that I like later on, but it's super like that. Like it's like kids, like just little kids being little nasty buggers.
I'm sure there's plenty more, but apart from that, they're the ones that jump out at me.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was good. I liked it.
Yep. Okay. Next week we are jumping back in the list. I think we're going to jump into the next zombie film, Shaun of the Dead. I haven't seen it in a long time, and I went for a period of watching it all the time,
every day. Yeah, I've not seen it for a little.
In a row.
Yeah. I've probably not seen in a row. I've not seen it for probably about 3 days. No. Quite a few years, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thank you very much, Luke.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.